Welcome to Gay Mystery Authors with Brad Shreve, featuring interviews with some of the most renowned authors and up-and-coming talents in LGBTQ mysteries, suspense, and thrillers. Plus, Justine Adamek is here with her weekly recommendation.
Justine, I have been waiting for this episode for months. I cannot wait to hear what you think are the best books of 2019.
Well, you have been really trying to get as many out of me as you can. Every now and then you'll trick me into saying something. Is this one on there? No, I can't remember that. I was supposed to keep it a surprise. However, most of these I have not told you about, and we'll see whether or not you've heard of all of them, and we'll see if you've got one that's your favorite that is in addition to this.
I think you only let two slip. I only know about two of them.
Okay.
So the rest I'm going to draw a blank here. So I'm anxious to hear them myself.
Okay, so let me tell you that most of the time on my weekly reviews, I try to come up with books that are new to me and that I haven't been involved in the pre-release stage. There are books that I think are very good that I often beta read or actually do some editing. And let me just say, I don't think I've ever had a friend who then became an author. I think that all of these books, I read these authors before I became friends with them. So, for instance, the first book on my best books is Body in a Bathhouse by Brad Shreve. You.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Now I'm blushing.
Now you're blushing.
And feeling awkward.
Well, I'll just keep talking so you can get over feeling awkward.
Okay, I'll shut up.
All right, you can shut up. So I read this book. I remember seeing you on the Gay Mystery Group putting out which covers does everybody like. And I thought, oh, gosh, you know, here we've got some other new writer coming in, working on the first novel. And then I picked it up because I was like, oh, I'm going to support this new writer. And I thought it was absolutely fabulous. The writing is very polished. The mystery is well done, woven together. And the main character is multi-layered and feels like somebody you really know. And after that, I contacted you by Messenger and we developed a relationship. And that's how we ended up doing this podcast together. But it all started with the fact that I thought your book was just tremendous.
Well, thank you. And I will say you were the very first person, you weren't the only, but you were the very first person to send me a private message to tell me how much you enjoyed the book. And being a first novel, I can't tell you how much that meant to me.
Oh, well, you deserve it.
Well, thank you for adding me to the list.
And many of these books that I got involved with authors, I know they've all done it the same way. I read their book and contacted them and developed a pretty strong relationship.
Well, I think it's awesome you do that.
Well, so here are some of the authors that I'm involved in, and I think their books are tremendous. Gregory Ashe. Gregory Ashe was your guest on episode 7. He's got a lot of series. He's got his first series was Hollow Folk, more of a paranormal series, not a mystery. And he's got his Hazard in Somerset. He's got a new series this year, the Borealis Investigation series. And the main characters are Shaw and North. And Shaw has always had a crush on North. And North has always had a crush on Shaw. But they never really spoke about it. And they started a detective agency together. And, you know, as you know, with many at Gregory Ashe series, by the end they get together. But along the way, they have that background, and the mystery comes out as the primary story. They have two flashback mysteries that they have, one that has shaped North and another one that has shaped Shaw. And crime that Shaw was involved in is one of these overarching main crimes where they're trying to find out who's done it, because the person in jail, Shaw doesn't think is really the person who did it. And then they have shorter mysteries along the way. And they do things like go undercover in certain costumes. And at some point in the book, the bad guys have got them cornered and they start doing this Mutt and Jeff banter routine, which is just a great deal of fun. And so that's the Borealis investigation series. The books are Orientation, Triangulation, and Declination. And that's a trilogy. They're probably going to come back in a later series, but those books are a set trilogy, and there will be no more in that mystery. They solve the overarching mysteries by the end.
And, you know, something I want to say about Gregory Ash is, you know, somebody can write the great American novel and it never be read by anyone because it just didn't get the attention that it deserved.
Right.
And Gregory Ash gets a lot of attention and is very well deserved. He's a great writer. But I think it's because he's incredibly charming. Yes. He was charming on this podcast. I've heard him on other podcasts. And they say at GRL that everybody just loved to talk to him. So he's I don't know why I'm throwing that in because it has nothing to do with his writing. I'm just saying.
Well, but that's the other thing is, you know, Hazard and Somerset, I mean, they're kind of rough and ready characters. They're both a little flawed. But his charm really comes through in the Borealis investigation series. Those characters are very charming, a lot of fun together. And I think that a lot more of his easygoing approach to life comes through with both of them.
Okay, well, that makes sense then. Well, who's next? Are you done with Gregory?
I am done with Gregory.
Who's next on the list?
The next on the list is Frank Butterfield. I beta some of his books. He does the Nick Williams Mystery Series, which he finally ran through enough mysteries that he's changed it now. He started a new series with them, which is Nick and Carter Adventures. And so there's no mystery to solve in those books, although the tone and the action is the same as in the earlier books. He's got two other mystery series, the Daytona Beach books. Actually, that's the only other mystery series, the Daytona Beach books.
Yeah, I've read his Daytona Beach books, and I like those. The Nick Williams mysteries, that now that it's transitioned into Nick and Carter, is that correct? He said there will be some mysteries, but it is not a mystery series.
Right.
Okay, so go ahead. Tell us which book.
So next is John Michelson's second book.
Now, was there a specific book by Frank Butterfield you were going to talk about?
No, I think all his books are good. They're about the same level. Other authors tend to be, you know, a little uneven, or they do different styles where I like one style and the other. For example, with Gregory Ash, I like his Shore North even more than his Hazard and Somerset. But I like all of Frank's books. They're always fun for me. Whenever they come out, I will, you know, drop everything and read them in the middle of whatever's on the list.
Okay.
So next is John Michelson's Kendall Parcell book, his second book, Deadwood Murders. It's come out 6 years after the first book, which was Pretty Boys. Oh, sorry. It was Pretty Boy Dead is his first book.
Yep.
It is well worth the wait. Kendall Parker, there's a little romance in this one. There's no romance in the first one, but very, very little. What he is on leave after the events of the first book, and they call him back to go undercover to catch a serial killer of gay men, and they set up this undercover identity of a high-flying, financially well-off day trader. So they've got him set up in condo downtown. They've got giving him like an SUV and a sports car, expensive watches, expensive clothes. And he gets to go out and cruise the bars at night looking for this killer. And that is the background of the mystery. In catching the serial killer, I think the identity of the serial killer will become quite a surprise.
But I'm looking forward to that. I read his first book and really enjoyed it. I haven't read the second one yet.
Well, I think you need to get that. The Deadwood Murders.
You think I need to get every book. And you know what the problem is? I know you're right. I don't know where I'm going to find all this time.
Well, I got to say, well, let me see if I can figure out. Let me see if I can figure out whether any of these books. No. Well, they're all different styles.
Yeah.
I think they all have a good mystery that if you like to read mysteries, you will like every one of these books. And that's the best that I'll say on that. Okay.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. So anyway, Greg Ash was interviewed on episode 7. You interviewed Frank Butterfeld on episode 4 and John Michelson was on episode 8, just so people can go back and listen to these episodes if they haven't yet.
Thank you.
Okay. Olivier Bosman, the fourth book in his D.S. Billings series came out this year and it's called Anarchy. The series is set in Victorian times, and there's a police sergeant who is gay and troubled, and he devotes his time to solving the current mystery that's on there. And the mystery in Anarchy, several brothers, and I believe it's 7 brothers, but they are anarchists who have come to England from somewhere else, and some of them get murdered, and then a couple more get murdered, and it's a high body count in Victorian times. And I know you love those high body counts.
I like high body counts. I will say, I'm not thrilled about period pieces, but saying that, Wuthering Heights is one of my favorite books. So yeah. Obviously I need to be more open-minded, and I've heard other good things about this book. So it's on the list.
One of the things that I don't usually like about period pieces is they assume that you know all about that time. And yes. You feel like you're dropped into another world that you're supposed to fill in the blanks. Bosman really gives you the entire background. You can feel like you're in smoggy London with the grungy streets and the heavy fog and people not saying what they really mean, but you know what they really mean by the words they're using. The words they're using to cover up the words they really want to say.
So it sounds like he puts you there.
He does put you there.
I love that.
I like those. Yeah. I don't read a lot of Victorian ones, and I picked up one of his on a lark and enjoyed it. And now I've read all 4 of them. That's all I have to say about Bosman.
Okay.
And I reviewed the first one last week, but this was the fourth one that came out this time. Another series that I've enjoyed quite a bit that is also a period piece around the turn of the century, and some of the novels go up through World War I, is Charlie Cochran's Cambridge Fellows Mysteries. And the first one, that they get together, and then after that, they're a relationship where they're in sync. So we have two Cambridge professors. One is a Shakespearean professor, and the other teaches mathematics. And there are 10 novels that go through World War I, and now she has started putting out novellas, which are the mysteries they solve along the way. And the one that came out this year is Lessons in Playing a Murderous Tune. And somebody ends up killed, and there's a violin that just appears out of nowhere in the school building, and they spent a lot of time sorting it through. The mathematician does not like Sherlock Holmes, thinks that there's all sorts of problems with Sherlock Holmes. Every time, almost says what he thinks. It's been a running joke throughout the whole series. So Jonty is the Shakespearean scholar, and whenever he brings up Sherlock Holmes, he doesn't even say the name before Orlando gets a look on his face. But somehow, his style is very much like Sherlock Holmes, where he sees the littlest detail and puts it all together.
Now, I'm curious, is Sherlock Holmes a real character in this novel, or are they referring to the mystery novels?
They're referring to the mystery novels.
Okay.
They're referring, and it's set in the time that those novels came out.
Because I'm not a fan of Sherlock Holmes either. But so.
Well, then you're going to really enjoy these books. and most, you know, most people like Sherlock Holmes, and most fictional characters, you know, worship Sherlock Holmes. And that is a unique thing about these books.
Well, when I was in London, I searched all over for a small shop and was finally able to buy one of those Sherlock Holmes-like hats and loved it. But that's about as close as Sherlock I like to get.
Yeah. Well, you'd fit right in with Orlando.
And, okay, and, good deal.
Jonty will tiptoe around you also. Another book that I really enjoyed, another first novel, was Garrick Jones's Cricketer's Arms. He was a guest on episode 9, and I interviewed it. I reviewed the book on episode 1. It's a long book. It's set in 1950s Australia, and you would think that would be deadly boring, but it's not. It's fast-paced, lots of things along the way that you don't realize are clues until you get to the end. You don't even know what the Cricketer's Arms refers to at the end. And it starts out with a famous cricket player being murdered and being staked out on a cricket field.
In a gruesome way.
In a gruesome way. And so it just throws you right into it at the beginning, and it never stops.
Based on the review you gave him in episode 1, I had little doubt that he was going to show up on your list.
I enjoyed him. Another one I really enjoyed is C.S. Poe. Okay, so her fourth book in the Snow and Winter series is Mystery of the Bones. What she does, it's set in modern times, but one of the characters, Snow, is a Victorian curiosity shop owner, and with a marvelously deep knowledge of Victorian times and Victorian memorabilia. And this one, he swears he's not going to get involved in another mystery. And then one day on his doorstep, a bloody skull shows up. And this is, in the Mystery of the Bones are dinosaur bones, famous dinosaur bones that you ought to know. And you feel like you ought to know the story when she tells you the background. But I think most people don't know about it. They don't know that two dinosaur scientists, when they discovered the big dinosaur field, they don't know two scientists were rivals and kept trying to come up with the bigger and better discovery. You'll enjoy that and probably the earlier books. One of the characters, Snow's ex-boyfriend, Neil, figures prominently, and here he's going to get his own spinoff series.
Well, she puts a lot of research into her books. I know that from the interview that I did with her, and having talked to her since then, and I'm really impressed with the amount of research she does, as well as Garrick Jones.
Yes, and a lot of these people do a lot of research. Frank Butterfield does an incredible amount of research.
You're correct, he does.
His books they're not just in order. He actually dates them, and, you know, some of them start like a few days after the one before. Some of them jump a few years, but he researches everything that's gone on at the Times. They meet some famous people, and he researches that. And I got to say, a lot of what I know about classic Hollywood comes from Frank's books, since that's not a period or an area that I have a lot of interest in learning about myself. Okay, let me throw in a couple of books that Recreer Tales has published.
Okay.
Grant Michaels series, Stan Krajicek series. I have a lot of fun with those. I'm always looking forward to when we put out the next one so I can proof it. And it's not painful at all. I enjoy them quite a bit. The first one is A Body to Die For. We put out the Love You to Death, based on Valentine's Day and Murder in a Chocolate Factory, and Dead on Your Feet, about ballet dancers. So those three have come out, and there are four more being released next year. And then another one of my favorites is The Black Marble Pool by Stan Leventhal. Stan Leventhal is one of the great gay writers who we lost during the AIDS crisis. He did a lot of non-mysteries, but The Black Marble Pool is a fun little mystery. A music editor ends up being put onto a travel story and is off in Key West. It's just a fun little book with lots of suspects.
in the gay mystery suspense thriller fiction group on Facebook, I've seen several reviews on that book, and they were all good.
All good, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see where else I am. Greg Herron, I reviewed his book in episode 9, Royal Street Rebellion. It's one of the Scotty Bradley mysteries. I think you'd like that whole series. This new one has come out this year. It is set, as all of them are, in New Orleans. And the premise is a poorly disguised version of The Real Housewives. Grand Dames of New Orleans has started filming. And it starts out with murders of, I think the producer, might be the director, but I think it's the producer and one of the actresses. Then the body count just keeps climbing.
And what, I didn't catch it. What was the name of that book?
Royal Street Rebellion.
Okay.
And Rebellion is, and I had to look this up, much as I have to look up things, had to look up things from the Cricketer's Arms. I had to look up Rebellion is. It's a long dinner held on the evenings preceding. It's on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve.
I never heard of it before.
It's because you don't live. It's a French tradition, and we don't live anywhere where there's a French influence. Both of us are here in Southern California, where you have the Spanish and Mexican influence. There's not a lot of French culture here.
Well, my husband is Creole, and his last name is Chevalier. So I'll have to ask him if he knows about it, or at least his parents may know about it.
I bet his parents know about it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they would. All right. So there are some books that I haven't read. They're on my to-be-read list. I can't tell you why I haven't gotten to them. But there are so many good books out there that these are the ones that I are still to be read before I get to the 2020 list.
So you're throwing caution to the wind and you're recommending them anyway.
Oh, I'm recommending them anyway. And I'll let you know why I'm recommending them anyway.
Okay.
Michael Nava, Carved in Bone. That's his new book in the Henry Rio series. Michael Nava is such a fine mystery writer that his books are now taught in college courses on gay literature. There's actually textbooks about his books. I have listened to the podcast. He put together this radio drama of his first novel, which was excellent, very well done, and a highly professional job. And this book, it takes place after that first novel, and it's on my list.
Well, I will tell you, I did read Carved in Bone, and it was exciting. It had me in tears. It is a brilliant novel, just brilliant. And if anybody wants to know more about it, they can. John Copenhaver wrote an excellent review about it for Lambda Literary. So they can go to that and check that out.
Well, speaking of John Copenhaver.
Okay.
That was next on my list.
I didn't know that.
You did not know that. And it really is next on my list. I usually write in a circle, but part of my circle is, little lists here and there. And John Copenhaver has his first novel out, Dodging and Burning, which is also on my to-be-read list. I bought that as soon as it came out. And it has been nominated for 5 awards. The Anthony for Best First Novel. The Strand Critics Award for Best First Novel. The Lamry for Best Gay Mystery. The Barry Award for Best First Novel. And the McCafferty Award for Best First Novel. And the winners of the 2019 McCafferty Award, which was given out at the 2019 BoucherCon, was indeed Dodging and Burning. It has been incredibly well reviewed. It has won a lot of awards, and I can't wait to read that.
Sounds like it's definitely a good book with all those accolades, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Copenhaver's going to be on next year, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Well, first I wanted to go back to Michael Nava. Do you remember which episode he was on?
Episode 2.
Yes, he was on episode 2, and mm-hmm. I do have John Copenhaver scheduled for early 2020.
And I plan to actually read his novel close to when he's on. I think I'd like to have it fresh in my head when I hear him speak about it. But it's already bought. It's already in the queue. Jeffrey Round has a new book out in his Dan Sharp series, Shadow Puppet. I am about halfway through that series. They're all good. They've all received lots of accolades. I think one of them has won a Lambda Literary, and his sixth book is Shadow Puppet. And I've got that in the queue.
And I also have Jeffrey Round coming up.
Ah, boy, I got to say, with all the authors you have, my to-be-read queue is going to get just longer and longer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having him on the show.
And now another book that I haven't read, but you have read and have loved, so I want you to do the review of it, Emmendaere by R.E. Bradshaw. Bradshaw was our guest on episode 6, and you read her book, and I think like every few days you kept writing me and saying, you should read this book. You should read this book.
Okay, well, you could have given me a little advance notice, but I'm going to say Emmendaere. It's superb. It involves a woman whose real name is Jane Doe, who returns home to her hometown in North Carolina. There's an age-old mystery that is involved to be solved. It takes place in the present day, but does reflect back on the 70s. And it has secrets and cover-ups. And really, the story is more of a statement on how we've reached the political, social, economic state that we're in today. And R.E. Bradshaw, just, I can't say enough. It's an outstanding book. I highly recommend it.
All right. Another book that I really like, Josh Lanyon, her writing is wonderful, and her Art of Murder series, I think, is some of her best work, mostly because she has that research into detail that we've talked about so often. Mm-hmm. The fourth book is called Monuments Men Murders, and you know, they had a documentary, and they also had a George Clooney movie about that in the last couple of years, but the Monuments Men were people who went off after World War II recovering treasures that the Nazis had stolen. And the FBI, one of them is the art crimes team, and he's charged with finding the stolen object, which may have been part of the Monuments Men recoveries. And that's where the mystery takes place. You get a lot of more depth than I got out of even the George Clooney movie and the documentary together. There's just details in the Monuments Men murders that I found quite fascinating. And the mystery is also well done. And her writing is just beautiful.
Yeah, I enjoy Josh. I haven't read any of her newer stuff. I've read her earlier work, such as Adrian English, mm-hmm. Which she's probably most well known for. But I haven't caught up on any of her newer things, so this might be a good start.
Yeah, I think her Art of Murder is her best work to date. So I have a book by Marshall Thornton that I have read, and another one by him that I haven't read.
Okay.
So the one I have read is the latest in the Pink's video series, book 4, Rewind. And the character is it's set in the 80s. He owns a video store, which, as you know, were ubiquitous throughout the 80s. He's got a bunch of friends and neighbors who get involved in solving mysteries and drag him into solving a mystery. And he's also dealing with he's HIV positive. At the very start of when there was treatment for it, when they had discovered treatments, but there were a lot of side effects, and you had to go and take a lot of pills every day, and insurance did not pay for them. He struggles with that, and I found that unique among the articles, or not the articles, the books written from that time and written about that time since then. Someone who is actually one of the first survivors and under treatment at the very beginning.
I hate to ask this question. I'm embarrassed to ask it. What is that character's name?
The main character is named Noah.
Okay, that's it. I wanted to say, I haven't read the book that you're talking about. I read the very first Pink's video novel, which I really enjoyed. And what I enjoyed most about it is Noah the main character. I really felt like I knew him and I knew his friends. I felt like I was right in the middle of the bunch. They were all people I know and probably most people know.
But it's set in Southern California, and you know, one of those courtyard apartment buildings in the valley, which you and I have probably once lived in or visited friends in, and they're very ubiquitous.
Well, it's actually in Silver Lake.
Ah, yeah. And I think Silver Lake's going to figure prominently in your upcoming book, isn't it, Brad?
Well, it figured prominently in the last book.
Yes.
This one, the main character in my novel lives in Silver Lake, but it's not as prominent in the second novel.
Okay. And two of the Pink's video mysteries have won Lambda Awards. And the most recent one, Noah wakes up to a dead body next to him. And, you know, that's all you got to say about that mystery. You can go pretty much anywhere from there.
And then you said there was a second one by Thornton?
Now, the other one by Thornton, which I haven't read, is his 12th in the Boys Town mystery series. And I'll tell you why I haven't read it. I thought it was the last in the series. And the last of his Nick Nowak series. And I did not want it to end. And I thought, well, I'm just going to keep putting this book off and it won't end for me. And then I realized that book 13 came out or is coming out. And it's on pre-order. It just went on pre-order this week. So I decided that I'm going to wait for that, and I'm going to read them both together, and hopefully two Nick Nowak books will ease the blow of the fact that the series is ending. And you talked to Marshall Thornton about the Nick Nowak series.
Yes, I can't remember the episode. Was it 3? I believe episode 3. But if you look on the list of episodes, Marshall Thornton is on that list.
And I'm going to look on the list of episodes right now. It comes right up on the webpage. It was not 3. It was not 4. It was 5.
Episode 5. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you looked it up. Didn't want to confuse everyone.
And that's my list, Brad.
That's it.
That's it.
Let's see how many we have on that list. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, I thought you were only going to give us 10. You gave us more.
Well, you start listing them and they go, oh, what about this one? Oh, what about that one? And I apologize to any authors who I have left off the list. You know, sometimes I buy a book. Here in California, books will drop at 9 o'clock at night. And there are books that I will actually sit waiting for as soon as they drop. And I'll start reading them at 9 and I'll be done at 11. Because I just enjoy that writer so much. And sometimes, you know, I discover it later on my list that I've already read and think, oh, I just want to reread that. But I don't remember all the books I read in that, you know, drop at 9 and finish by 11.
Well, I wish I had your reading speed.
Well, and so if I haven't mentioned your book, it may well be because it was so good that I devoured it the moment it came out.
And I was honored to be on the list.
Nope. As well you should be. And I'm honored that I've gotten to know you and you asked me to do this podcast with you.
Well, likewise. It's your love of reading that is what made me ask you to be on the show.
Not my charming personality? Oh, dear.
Well, yes, it is.
How's that for fishing for a compliment, Brad? Let's end it there. I would hate to be pulling up an old shoe with that fishing reel.
No, it is a charming personality. I will tell you that. Even though I asked you before I ever even spoke to you.
Yeah.
We were Facebook friends.
We were Facebook friends. So happy holidays. We're ending a year, and I think we've got a great year coming up in 2020.
Yeah, this episode is due to release the day after Christmas Day, but that doesn't mean it's not time to treat yourself still. So you got plenty of books on Justine's list to dive into if you haven't read them all. Okay, well, we'll see you next week.
Then see you next year.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for a good show.
Thank you, Brad. Glad you started it.
You can find us on all major podcast applications. Be sure to subscribe to our show and not miss a single episode. Thank you for listening.